All right, Faith Church, I'm so excited about this weekend. Every campus, you're going to love it because we're doing a little two-week mini-series in the month of love. We're actually calling it Better Together.
Because you and I are better together.
We are.
You know, we've been married almost 28 years.
It's crazy because we're only 30.
Right? Don't try to do the math right now because it's not going to add up. But just because we've been together 28 years, it doesn't mean that we're perfect relationships. We know what we're doing. We aren't experts. We just have experience.
Mm-hmm. And you learn how to talk to one another and how to negotiate. And it's a negotiation sometimes because you say the wrong things. And it's not just saying the wrong things. Mm-hmm. It's the way you say it sometimes. Mm. And the enemy comes in there. And he tries to destroy marriages real quick.
Tone is everything. And what we've learned about our relationship is it's progress, not perfection. Mm-hmm. Like, we try to fight better.
Yeah.
We try to communicate better.
I didn't fight fair at all in the beginning. You would tell me, you don't fight
fair. He does it better. See? But, you know, speaking of communication, I think, okay, well, we have to warn them about what's about to happen.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's kind of embarrassing because, raise your hand if you've watched old videos yourself. You're like, turn it off, or you hate to see yourself or hear yourself on video. Come on, every campus, raise your hand.
I am cringing right now.
Nicole hates this. I hate this. But what this proves is that we've been doing this together a long time. So it's not like, oh, they're talking now. You just got to look past the hair.
It also proves that we get better with age because what we're about to do is we're going to go throw back to a couple of the relationship conferences we've done. Uh-huh. You're going to see some bad hair, bad outfits. Feel free to laugh and make fun. Yeah. But what we don't want you to do is just laugh and make fun and then not get the gist of the clip.
Right.
So this first clip is on communication.
Let's check it. Preconceived idea that a man is supposed to want to do things for her without her even asking. And I'm telling you, that's not going to happen. You have to ask a guy, and it's not enough to ask a guy one time. It's not enough to ask a guy two times. You got to keep on asking. They think that, you know, oh, it's just wonderful. And they have this, you know, somewhere over the rainbow. How's it go?
Way up high.
All of my other girlfriends have good husbands. Why, oh, why can't I? Okay, but maybe the reason why you don't have a good husband is maybe, you know, we both need to work on this communication thing.
Well, you know, just like when you come into the house, what happens is, guys, you do stuff for me all the time. And what do you do when you do stuff for me?
I like to be bragged on, you know? I mean, she trained me how to load a dishwasher, you know? But then I thought, oh, I got a good idea. I will unload the dishes and put them in where they belong, or the best of my ability. And after I was done, then I put my dirty dishes in it, and then I did what guys do. I waited for her to come home because there's just something about the way she's trained me. She trained me to where all I really want is for her to come in and go,
oh, you're such a good man. I love you.
Treat, 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 treat.
You're so strong and smart and hot.
Woo! Come on. Let's get it on.
You want to get a guy to do anything, you just tell him that he's hot, and then all of a sudden, he's going to do whatever it
is. Guys want to be, they want to be esteemed, right? They want to be appreciated.
What guys do and what girls do, we just do stuff such different ways.
Right.
Right? You want all these treats for coming in and doing one thing. I've got 100 things on my mind. And trying to get you to do what I want you to do without a communicated expectation.
That's good.
Right? So a lot of times what happens is I have my plan in my head of how the night is supposed to go. And then I expect you to like live up to that. But I don't bother to tell you, hey, babe, you know what would make me really happy?
Right.
Or you know what's bugging me? Or do you know what hurt my feelings? So there's no way for you to make me happy if I don't take the time and the energy to tell you in a good tone of voice when I'm not mad, like how you can make me happy.
Yeah. You know, I hear people say that all the time. Well, shouldn't he know? Shouldn't he know? I mean, we just don't. Guys and girls
no.
think totally different.
But I mean, it's not just guys don't know what girls want. You can't possibly know what anybody else wants unless the expectations are clear. You know, I say all the time in my goal setting, when expectations are clear, results appear.
Good.
So the results just don't show up by themselves.
Somebody needs to write that down.
Well, the results don't just show up by themselves. There's no way you can make me happy until, like, I don't want to get y'all on our personal business, but let's just bring you right into our personal business.
Come on in.
you know, you hurt my feelings. You were doing some stuff, and you know, you didn't know it was hurting my feelings, yeah. But I had to tell you later when I wasn't mad about it, because what I have found is when I communicate while I have emotion, my communication is here, and so your hearing is here.
Right.
So I have to wait until my emotion goes.
Yep. You said to me just the other day, you're like, hey, I want to talk to you about, I feel like you're in a good spot, and I'm in a good spot. And I'm like, whoop, hey, apparently we were in a bad spot. And then he said, hey, now that we're both calm about this, the other day you said something that hurt my feelings. And because you're so wise, like when you're young, you're like, I want to get it off my mind now. I'm going to send the text right now. Anybody ever done that? Raise your hand. If you like, I'm sending, if you ever sent the text, you're like, I really need to slip into the room and get their phone and delete the text.
Yes.
And so, but Nicole does it, which takes years of learning. And that's why we want to teach you and train you. What we have learned that works is when you handle a matter wisely, we'll put it on the bottom of the screen for you. The Bible says, when you handle a matter wisely, you find good. And Nicole has done so good at that.
Well, the Bible also says, he who bridles the tongue, like what an animal this tongue is, right? It's the strongest muscle in the whole body, is this little thing that's in our mouth. But I have learned I cannot let that loose. Like, I got clap back.
Oh, yeah.
Come here, bring it, boy. I got something for you myself.
You made your money in sales. She can talk.
But I've learned if I want to clap back, I can't even allow myself to talk.
Yeah.
And I just have to feel like I'm taking it on the chin. But really it is, you say all the time, playing chess, not checkers.
That's right.
If I talk while I'm mad, I'm making a checkers move and I'm going to get trumped.
Uh-huh.
But if I hold my tongue, I evaluate my emotions, I wait till I'm chill, I can make a chess move, and then we can both win.
Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We say that all the time. And he tries to get you guys divorced to where now you are, oh, I'll marry somebody else, and maybe it'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get better, if we married somebody else, the problem would still be there, and it would be me.
Well, and that's it. We can't get divorced or drop a friendship or break up with somebody because we don't like the way it's going
right. If
we're not making ourselves get better. You know, I knew we were going to do this, so I was listening to a bunch of TED Talks on relationships, and I was listening to a bunch of podcasts on relationships, trying to get myself sharpened. You know, need to sharpen my axe. You know, fill up so you can pour out. And I was listening to it. I thought, I need to be listening to this even more because it's not just for married people. If you're single right now, like your dating relationships, your quality of friendships, relationship with kiddos, relationship with parents, you know, the older your kids get, the harder you have to work on the relationships with them.
And you can tell when you're on a date how that dude treats the waiter, how he treats his mother, because that's how he or she, they're going to treat you that way.
Well, and the same with the girl.
Right.
Like if they bring her something wrong, she's like, eh! She's going to be eh! To you when you do something wrong, right? And it's not that we can't grow. So if you're identifying with stuff we're saying like, because I'm not saying we never did that. I'm just saying hopefully we do it a whole lot less than we used to because we're learning and growing.
But I mean, we are way different than we have been. And before we go to this next clip, I want to encourage people. If your marriage isn't good right now, it can get good. And it can go from good to great by going to church, by getting, you hear me all the time, go to Growth Track, get in a group, because there's people that have kind of figured out where you've been. Now, let me ask you one question before we go to the next clip. How many of you have ever seen people and they're like saying something, I told my wife or I told my husband, you're like, been there, done that, not a good idea. Raise your hand. That ain't gonna work, Bob. So hopefully every week we're giving you value and things that you can put plug and play into your life right away.
Well, speaking about plugging and playing right away, we paused that clip right before this happened. We got to think about how do we treat our man?
Mm-hmm.
Because so many times, here's what happens. He comes in and he's sitting here expectantly waiting for me and to just pat him on the face and tell him how good he is. But what happens is I walk in the door from work and I walk in and I'm like, okay, I just had to pick up the kids from practice and now I got to fix dinner and I got to unload the groceries and he didn't unload the groceries from the car and the trash has not been taken out yet and why is he getting the remote for the television? We have a lot to do and the house is a mess and I have to clean and well, at least he unloaded the dishwasher. Let me start dinner. And I completely missed the opportunity to celebrate the fact that he did something. You know, the Bible makes it pretty clear that if we spend less time trying to get what we want and spend more time trying to give what we want, we will end up getting what we want so bad.
Come on, does that make sense? Raise your hand if it's helping anybody. And again, I like what you said a while ago, like if you're dating, how many of you are all single? Raise your hand, show it so people can see, look around, see the possibilities. Who are you taking to lunch today? The good new Fairview Heights campus, that Mexican restaurant could not be more recommended by me.
Good looking single
street,
people at this
right?
church.
Come on, a lot of every campus, right? So how many of you are married? Raise your hand if you're married, all right? So just pay attention, both married and single. It's these truths that make a big difference.
They had a study. And when they did the study, they said, hey, all you people at work, tell what percentage of the work did you do on this project? And when they did the study and they added up all the percentages, it came up to like 525%. Like everybody thought, I did 75% of the work. No, I did 75% of the work. And so to give more than you get, like if we try to give more than we get, we're probably only going to give a fraction of what we got because you're part of what you're doing around the house. Like he just does the outside stuff. Never mind that we have a big yard and he has to mow and it has to be trimmed and you know it's the driveway has to be shoveled and the trash has to go out. I'm thinking about my part and I had to sweep and I had to dust and I did the laundry and you were sitting down the whole time I was working. So we have this idea that we give out so much more than we actually do.
Yeah, when you really do, if you've been married a long time and you want to be married a long time, it really comes down to really appreciating another person. And I've got several friends over the years that have lost their wife. And she's passed away. And they tell me they would give anything if they could go back. The little things that they were doing were little things. And that's what we do. Mm-hmm. The enemy tries to make mountains out of molehills. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says this, in the Word of God, it says, it is righteous and it is wise of a person to overlook an offense. And the enemy tries to tell you, you're too busy to go to church. And then guess what? You're too busy to get divorced, right? So when you learn these principles that you're learning here today, it changes your life. And it certainly sets you up to interview. And I'll talk to single moms for a minute. Some single moms come to me at different campuses. And they go, man, I just wish I could find the right guy. I got these kids. And they look at it as a disadvantage. Listen, God has got his eye on you, and he's got his eyes on your children. Can I get an amen?
Well, so, and it's better to be a single mom, coming from somebody who was a single mom for years. It's better to be a single mom than to be married to the wrong person or even dating the wrong person because that can take your life so off track. So, you know, if you want somebody bad, you get somebody bad.
Come on.
And I done had somebody bad. And it would have been better for me to have been single in that space. Yeah. So if you're single, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you because the enemy will try and tell you that well, there's something wrong with you. Nobody can be married to somebody like you because that's what the enemy told me. I was damaged goods and nobody could be married to somebody like me. But it turns out I can be married. We've been married almost 28 years, but it's the same enemy that keeps coming to me and telling me that exact same thing. Yeah. That I can't be married. And I've been married 28 years. So I'm just so grateful that I'm beginning to overcome that. So if you're single, you don't have 28 years of marriage to say, hey, yeah, somebody can be married to me. Single mom, I was a single mom for years. And the enemy would tell me all the time that somebody like me could not be in a relationship because I was damaged goods. Yeah. And that when you're damaged goods, you can't bring yourself to a relationship because there's parts of you that are broken. And the thing is, most people are broken. And even after we've been married almost 28 years now, the enemy will still try to come to me with the same junk. Like, nobody could be married to somebody like you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no, they couldn't. And then I have to think, well, wait a minute. I've been married 28 years. I guess it works a little bit. So that's just what I want to share with you. If you're single and the enemy is lying to you about what you can or can't be in a relationship, or if you're married and the enemy is still telling you that you aren't worthy of being married or having somebody or having love, God is love. He gave himself for you. You are a piece of him. You were created of him. You are love. You are worthy of being loved because you are God's child. And you're going to do fine in a relationship. Don't worry about it. The guys who are coming around you, the girls who are coming around you right now just must not be your person. Yeah.
And I said with the kids, when you had Austin, I was like, man, this is awesome. I got this extra guy around the house to help me. I didn't change the diaper. He was old enough to wash the car. He became my little buddy. So you're interviewing guys to marry you. You're not desperate. God's got the right person for you. And I believe it's the year for that to happen. And the next clip is a little better, but it's still bad hair, much different. But we're talking about balancing the relationship.
So, because I tell you what, you got to keep yourself moving.
Let's check this out. Now, anytime you're in a relationship, there's going to be a give and a take. In Colossians 3, verse 13, it says, make allowances for each other's faults. How many of y'all got faults in here? Okay, so half of you, the other half, we're going to work on you. And these faults, forgive one another if the other offends you. It's impossible to be in a relationship and not be offensive. Now, sometimes I say that home is where we go to stop being nice. Anybody guilty of that? Somebody hits you, you know, in the back of the leg at the grocery store with a shopping cart. You don't know them. Total stranger. And they say, oh, I'm sorry. You're like, oh, it's okay. Didn't hurt a bit. Your mate hits you and you're like, can you not drive? My God, what is going on? And so we're insulting one another instead of balancing the relationship with love.
You know, it's actually, the Bible addresses that, and it's called the sin of familiarity. And what that is the closer we get to someone, the closer in proximity, when we live with somebody, when they're around us all the time, we start to get really familiar with them. And the more familiar we get with each other, what we have a tendency to do is the closer we get, the less and less grace we extend to that person. So what we'll allow perfect strangers to get away with, or we'll be nice to them, where we've got no relationship investment in them, no relationship change in our pockets with them, nothing to lose. We'll be nice to them. But the people that we have something to lose, suddenly we're short with them, or we can't even handle them, or they get on our nerves very easily, and they're the very people that we love.
Right, and that's because we get offended with one another. When you get offended, offense, you're building a fence between one another. You first were in love. You had all this romance. They couldn't do no wrong. You loved everything about her. You loved the giggle when she walked, and all the just little idiosyncrasies. Oh, isn't that cute? But now, you know, she starts crunching, and you're like, I didn't know she chomped. Sounds kind of nasally when she breathes. What is that? The offense comes. So the romance is gone. When everybody's played this game, right? You're on the phone. She's in her bed across town. You're in your bed. Oh, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, hang up, Nicole.
And no, baby, I'm going to count to three. And okay. When I count to three, we are both going to hang up at the same time.
Okay.
One.
Uh-huh.
Two.
Uh-huh.
Three.
Uh-huh.
You're still there.
Yeah, I'm not going to hang up. You hang up. Oh, how many of y'all play that game?
And that was back before they had cell phones, you know what I mean? We were on a real landline. Anybody ever played that game again? Come on, raise your hand, all right? And if you haven't, it's a fun game.
And 28 years of marriage later, they won't stop talking. You're like, oh, I'm in a bed. So, Yeah, that's one thing I've learned about you. You don't like to talk on the phone.
I just don't. All my staff knows it. I'm a voice texter, quick, to the point. I don't talk much.
So learning each other's communication styles, and then when we get offended, something that I've learned even rather recently, because I like stuff with alliteration because it makes it easier to remember.
Yeah.
Ask, don't assume.
It's good.
And I know, like with you and I, especially the longer that you're married, you will start thinking that you know what they're thinking.
You knew that.
You're going to think you know what they're going to say. And like, where it's kind of like Frozen. We finished each other's sandwiches. That's what I was going to say. You weren't going to say sandwiches. But I'll start to say something and you'll pop in and you'll be like, I know, blah, 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 blah. And I'll be like, that's not what I was going to say at all.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody say, ask, don't assume. And I think that's where we start getting trouble.
Yeah.
After we've been in relationship for a while, you get in relationship and you realize, I don't know how they think, I need to learn them.
Yeah.
Then you learn somebody and you think, I know how they think. And when I do this, they're gonna do that. And we get in whole fights in our head, or we get mad about what they're gonna say that they're not even gonna say, because we start assuming what they're thinking, assuming what they're feeling, assuming where they're going, instead of asking, hey, where are you going? Where are you going with that? Or hey, what do you mean by that?
Yep. And people need to be heard, you know. We were out of town the other day, and you were upstairs at the hotel, and I walked through the lobby, and there was these people eating dinner, and there was people that were on a date, and there were two people that were older, and you could tell that they'd been married a long time because they weren't even talking. They were just eating, not a word. A couple of minutes later, I'm like, they already know everything each other knows. And I thought to myself, let's try not to do that. You know, we've been taught by our pastor to have some talking points, like, you know, what would be your dream vacation? What, find things to talk about, because when you start
stop talking. Well, we already know each other. We know everything about each other. Well, let's learn something new. I mean, Nicole, every night in bed, she's like, hey, I'm going to do Duolingo. And I'm learning Spanish just because she's learning Spanish. But it's the conversations that stop happening. Mm-hmm. You got to keep it interesting.
Well, even though you know I'm going to do Duolingo in bed at night, I don't just turn it on. I say, hey, is it okay with you if I do my Spanish now?
Yeah.
Because you have to hear it.
Because I have physical touch after 10 o'clock and it's easy when we're in bed. Yeah. That's the whole thing you learn in Growth Track.
Woo! And we have to time Spanish with physical touch time. But I'll check in with you because I don't want to assume.
Right.
This is what I do every night. So just get on board, buddy. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, is this okay with you? And, you know, 99.8% of the time, you're like, that's fine. Even if you put on an eye mask and turn on a noisemaker and roll over and go to sleep.
I'm about to do my siesta.
Because you done had your fiesta. But learning those things about one another, and then, you know, with offense, it's easy to get offended when we're fighting. And I also learned something else recently that was alliteration I was really excited about, and I'll never forget it. And it says, connect before you correct.
That's good.
And I remember this morning at home, I wasn't correcting you about anything. I just knew you had had a rough morning. And I knew you needed something spoken into you. But before I could just even tell you, hey, you're just going to be okay, I knew you would be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, you're on and you're moving. So I just came up and I grabbed you by the little cheeks. Yeah. And I just said, hey, I love you. And I see you. And you are a good man.
Yeah.
And you were built for this. And then I said, hey, these things that have been coming up, they seem bigger than they are. You've done stuff like this in your sleep. So I was able to not correct, but even just give you guidance.
Yeah.
But you heard me, because even when I first started doing that, you're like, oh, thanks. And then you started going and grabbed your, I'm like, what are you doing? You're like, I hurt my back. I'm like, shut up, get over here.
I lied, it's my hip hurt. I wasn't pulling away. But you get in mode, you're like, I'm in work mode. You know, don't mess with me, I'm in autograph mode. And so you gotta slow it down. And I appreciated that. It's important, and women get that. Women need security, before we go to this next clip. And men need to be affirmed over the little stuff. I felt like I could take on the world by the time she's done doing that.
Well, I think this is our last clip, and I think you guys are going to love it because it's all about getting to know the other person and being intentional. Because what he said, she said, and what they said are something different.
Because it's easy to figure out what ticks people off, but it's harder to figure out what makes people tick.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to press the hot buttons. When somebody makes us mad, oh, well, really? You're going to bring up the fact that I'm 9 feet tall? Well, let's just talk about your insufficiencies right now. And we just come back, right? But it even says in the Bible, do not return railing for railing.
Yeah.
And that is so hard. But 20 years in, you start figuring out it's a lot easier to bite your tongue than to worry about divorce.
We also know that you finding the right person is so important. And then also being the right person. Because you don't, I think sometimes we just pick people for the wrong reason. You're like, oh, he looks good, but is he good? Or she looks good. And you got to make sure that the person, sure, you got to be attracted to them. But at the same time, beauty's only skin deep. How many of you know, but ugly is to the bone. If somebody's mean and they're like, that's not good. So that'll just divide.
Man, I tell you what, there's a scripture in the Bible so that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. There's another scripture that said, man should not live alone, right? And so many times I've watched over the years, like, especially as people get older, they're in a relationship, then they get out of the relationship, and they're like, I'm not gonna get married again. And they start living a life that really isn't completed. God put us together, and he joined men and women together for community, and for strength. The Bible said when our prayers together come together, it said one will put 1,000 to flight. The scripture's on the bottom of the screen. And two will put 10,000 to flight. Now, I am not saying that you have to be married to have a complete life. I mean, Apostle Paul wasn't married. I'm not saying that. But I am saying it is a joy. If you find the right person and you become the right person, it changes everything. And that's why, again, I keep pointing you back to Growth Track. Keep pointing you to, you know, we're a couple weeks into groups. You can still join a group. When you get in a group, it completes you. In fact, next week I'm going to talk not so much individually about relationships with man and woman. I'm going to talk about how to win friends and influence people, how to get along at work. Because chances are if you get fired at work, you ain't going to get a girl because you want a man with a job. Can I get a man on that one, right?
Well, and I just want to talk to people who might be thinking, things aren't going so great right now. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in this relationship teaching this week. I don't even know if I want to come next week, how to influence and influence people. I don't even want to win them. I'm kind of tired of them. And if they moved on, I'm not sure I'd be so upset about that. Because every relationship goes through hard times.
That's right.
And I tell people who are dating, I heard somebody told me one time, like, hey, we're getting engaged. I'm like, oh, you are? Yeah, we've been dating 8 months, and it's amazing. I know they're the right person for me because we've never had a fight.
Uh-oh.
And I said, well, whatever you do, don't get engaged until you have a fight. Because life isn't about how good it is when things are good. Life is about how you resolve conflict.
So good.
Because we are going to fight. Like, we have fought so many. I can't even count how many times we've fought.
A lot.
But I feel closer to you.
Yeah.
When we resolve our fight right, yep. I feel closer. I'm not even really mad about the fight anymore. There's a part of me that's thankful for it. Because yeah. I know, like, it's almost like reading a book and closing the cover of it and going, oh, that's done. I'm like, oh, I understand more about him. Oh, he understands yeah. more about me. This part is over, and it's not going to happen again. Let's just talk for a minute, because we've both been divorced, and that's one of the reasons we like to talk about this, is so you don't have to go yeah. through it. What are reasons to stay where it's hard?
Well, you know, one thing is that the enemy tries to convince you that the grass is greener on the other side, and come to find out it's not even real grass, it's astroturf, you know, it's not real. Some have said that grass is greener because the person's fertilized it, or they took care of it, they got rid of the weeds. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that when you give yourself to God, you receive Jesus. That's the first thing you got to do, is put Jesus in the middle of this relationship. Then you start trying to change you instead of the other person, and then for me, not for everybody, but I'm just naturally not a great listener. I do a lot of talking. So I have to tell myself, hey, shut up, listen. Because what I do oftentimes, which causes everybody to be upset, is I assume I'm in a hurry. I kind of know where you're going within 3 seconds. And so Nicole said it earlier, right? She said, hey, don't assume that you know what I'm going to say. And I'm like, I bet I do. And then when she's done, I'm like, oh, wow. Glad I shut up and listened. Right? So the Bible says, dwell with one another according to knowledge. So if I know Nicole needs to be heard, by the way, that is something that everybody, man and women, if people don't feel heard, mm-hmm. they don't feel listened to. Because before, I was the type of person that while you're, you know, fighting or arguing, I'm not even listening. I'm just formulating the scriptures and where you're wrong. And I'm going back to my history of my dad and the way he had a marriage. And just because people have been married a long time doesn't mean they knew how to be married. Yeah. It just means that the one person might have lived in misery. But I said, I'm not going to try to impose my thought process and what I saw growing up upon right. my wife, because I did that, well, and I got a divorce.
And you can't impose an expectation without communicating the expectation.
So good.
Because what you're setting the other person up for is failure. I will never be able to be the wife you want me to be if you don't tell me the gaps.
Yep.
Like, hey, my heart is hurting because, or hey, you don't make me feel like a man when, or hey, you really emasculated me. Like, I made a joke. I was in a meeting the other day, and Morgan actually texted me and said, hey, you kind of did Austin dirty. That's her husband, Pastor Austin, kind of did Austin dirty when you made this example. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to do him dirty. Yeah. What I was actually trying to do was this, and obviously I failed at it. So I said, thank you for bringing that to my attention while we're doing this. I haven't even told Austin about it yet. I haven't even gotten to apologize. But I'm going to go back and apologize to him. So this is relationships, not just married relationships, but like kid relationships, parent relationships, like keeping those relationships together. But I'm going to have to go back and apologize to him and let him know, you can expect me to have your back in a meeting, not to tear you down in a meeting.
And that's most of the time, you don't mean to do it.
Yeah.
But then I love the expectation. Do not miss that at every campus. Weldon, Fairview Heights. Come on, Fairview, make some noise. The newest campus we've got. RPC. I shouldn't have started this. Earth City, Weldon, everybody, Sunset Hills. Listen to this. I love what she said. We have had a front row seat to marriages that have imploded.
Yeah.
Because he was afraid to tell her what he wanted, or she was afraid to tell him. Then the enemy brings by this girl or this guy who,
or the idea of being alone is better.
Yeah.
And it's not. And they've ended up, every time people haven't resolved, like they left, the next part of their life wasn't good.
No.
Because you have to, if you don't practice it in the relationship you're in, we won't practice it in our next relationship.
That's right.
And then here's the other thing we have to watch out for, and it happens in every marriage. Every married person I have talked to goes through this thing where I'm just mad. It's just not going to work. They just don't treat me right. And people resign for a little bit from working on the marriage or being involved or being willing to make it better because they're mad, they're offended, they're hurt,
right.
Their spouse legitimately did something.
Yep.
And here's the thing we have to watch is if the enemy will convince us that the relationship will not work, if we're not working for the relationship, we're working against the relationship.
So
the enemy will begin working with us to develop our faith that it's not working.
Yep.
And then we will end up with a self-fulfilling prophecy. And
yeah,
end up being the demise of our own relationship.
So good. That's what we do. I told you it wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
Told you. And it's saying things. Hit you real fast. You never, you always, you're just like your mom. You're just like your dad. Fighting in front of the kids. You go in another room and you have an intense time of fellowship. And then you come out. Kids don't need to go through that drama. Can I get an amen? Mm-hmm. Raise your hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so again, these are things that we've seen that really destroy marriages. And we know the enemy has a plan. I want to make sure you're clear about this.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you've been through, mm-hmm. God is bigger than that. Forgiveness and the power of the Holy Spirit and coming to church and singing songs and it's doing more for you than you can imagine. And it's doing more for your kids than you can imagine. It's crazy out there. But inside these campuses of Faith Church today, the Holy Spirit is moving. He's removing burdens.
Yeah.
He's destroying yokes. He's getting you ready for 2025, which is going to be the greatest year of your life. But you've got to do these things that Nicole's sharing today that we're talking about. And I promise you, it'll work for you and it'll change your life. The next little, probably the last clip here is, has any guy ever been to the doghouse? Raise your hand, been in the doghouse.
So
let's check this out.
Well, I put my husband in the doghouse and he didn't know it. And he was there for so long, he actually got a little bit comfortable. Hey, baby.
It's not bad in here. You know, sometimes we see that guys get so comfortable in the doghouse because they're so used to being in the doghouse that they continue to act like dogs because they've been in the doghouse for so long. See, the Bible said, don't return evil for evil, railing for railing. When we sow discord and we begin to hurt one another, and oftentimes it's just oblivious stuff. Now, y'all were laughing, and I see now that it was wrong, but at the time, I didn't know it was wrong. Guys are dumb. We don't know. A couple more scriptures I want to give you before we leave. Number one, I want you to maybe get out your phone, take a picture of it if you want, write it down. The Bible says, what God has joined together, let no man pull asunder. He said, also this scripture, he said, when a man finds a wife, or vice versa, that you're supposed to leave and cleave. There's so many things that we could still share, and I'll share next week, and stuff that you can get on the app. We've downloaded a lot of this stuff on the app. First of all, raise your hand if it has helped you. Every campus, raise your hand, all right? And what God has joined together, let no man pull asunder. So the enemy's the one that's trying to convince you. Many times, as Nicole said today, it's not going to work. It's too much water under the bridge. It's a mess. This is a lie from the enemy. We've seen people at our church. You've seen it if you've been here for a while. If you're new, you haven't. Where people got divorced, had an affair, moved on, and they got remarried again.
And have been married for 10 or 12 years.
Yeah.
And just one more scripture, Ephesians 4:32. It says, be ye kind one to another.
That's good.
And I was working with somebody not too long ago, and they thought their husband had been so mean to them, la, 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 la. And I told her, I said, hey, is this a 1 or is this a 10? Because you're treating it like a 10. Now, a 10 is you walked in the door and found him in bed with another woman. That's a 10.
Yeah.
And then a 9 is, you know, you walked in, she wasn't in the bed. And we walked our way back. I said, is this a 1 or a 10? She's like, well, on a scale like that. I said, well no, it's not a scale like that. It's the scale.
Yeah.
So are you treating a 1 like a 10? Where are we? And she's like, well, it would probably be a 1.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what you could do is you could text him an apology. Just, I'm sorry, not for what he did, but for the way you reacted. I'm sorry for the way I reacted, and see what kind of door that opens. What is that? That's Ephesians 4:32. That's be ye kind one to another, not because somebody deserves a kindness, because we don't deserve kindness.
Yeah.
And she was like, I could do that. And I said, just try it one time and see what happens. Yeah. She said she texted it to him, and he said he got the text. She said, I watched him on the Ring camera at home get the text, and he went.
Those Ring cameras.
He's like, she's like, I couldn't believe it melted him.
Yeah.
And she's like, we resolved it. He called me. He said he wanted to see me live out my dreams. And wow. It came from one day. Kindness.
Yeah. So, so good.
What if we're one kindness away?
Yeah. You know, and so today at every campus, wherever you're at, the Holy Spirit is in that building, online, Facebook, streaming, wherever you're at. I believe that it wasn't by accident that God brought you here today. Nicole and I are going to pray for you. Every single one of you that are waiting for the right person to come in your life. Every person right now that you're in a difficult situation and you love each other, but you don't like each other. God can do a miracle. That's what church does. That's what local church does. That's what groups do. Why do I keep pushing you in that? Because I want you to get around the right people. I say, show me your friends. Come on, what do you say? Show your future. So God brought you here right now. So we're going to pray for you.
Yeah.
And I believe the Holy Spirit's going to heal you and heal your relationship. Nicole, you want to start the prayer?
God, sometimes we just have to slow things down for a minute. We just want to rush through the moment, rush through the problem, rush to you. And God, sometimes we just have to stop and say, God, I don't have this. But God, you're there and you do. People have failed us, but you never, ever, ever have failed us. And you aren't starting with the situation. So God, we ask you to touch a heart that we cannot.
Yes, God.
We ask you to heal a heart that we cannot. And maybe that heart is even ours, God. Maybe we've been aching for our own heart to be healed, but we haven't been able to do it. But God, it's not a work for us to do. It is a work for the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I just loose you right now to do the touching, forgiving, and healing on the inside of us that we've been unable to do by ourselves.
In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
Amen.
It's good for you today. I want you to share this with all your friends on social media, even to get home. Go home on your Facebook and share, because people, raise your hand if you know some people that could use this right now. This is premarital counseling. This is after an affair counseling. The Holy Spirit can do more in one church service than we could do in months and months of counseling. And I want you to download that app. They're going to put that on the screen. Get out your phone real quick. We'll let you do that. Get out your phone and go ahead and take a picture of that and scan it and download the app if you do not have it. Because we've got hours of content that you didn't see where Nicole and I, bad hair, different hair, tons of clips we did not show, hours of teaching that are only on that app, as well as some recommended books that have helped Nicole and I. And there are certain books. There's one the guys are going to love called 7 Days of Sex. Yeah, I said that. There are things that will help your marriage and that relationship will help. So get on that app today. I promise you, you're going to love it. And next week, everybody shout next week. Next week, I'm going to be talking about relationships again, but not so much so in a husband and wife relationship, but at work. Do you have people at work that you're like, oh Lord, there they are. I'm going to act like I'm on my phone. I do not want to meet them at the water cooler, right? So we're going to talk about how to deal with difficult people, how to overcome obstacles, how to win friends and influence people, and how to, I've got some TikTok clips that you're going to love on how to actually respond to people when they respond a certain way that is totally HR approved, but it'll help you do what God's called you to do. And today at every campus from Illinois to Florida to Missouri, go to Growth Track. If you haven't been there, ask that person next to you. Say, I'll take you there myself, because that's the next step for you to get involved in the church, take the next step with Jesus. And I promise you, there's people at every campus today that would vouch that when they went to Growth Track, their life got better. People in our coffee shop, I could take, we got testimonies that they met their spouse there, been happily married for years. And if God did it for them, he will do it for you. So let's give it up right now for Jesus and our campus hosts and pastors as they come.